Our reading comes from Genesis chapter 31, verses 17 through 30. So Jacob got up, put his sons and wives on the camels, and set out with all of his livestock and all of his possessions that he had acquired in Padan Aram in order to return to his father Isaac in the land of Canaan. Now while Laban was out shearing his sheep, Rachel stole the household's divine images that belonged to her father. Moreover, Jacob deceived Laban the Aramean by not sending word to him that he was leaving. So Jacob and his entire household left. He got up, crossed the river, and set out directly for the mountains of Gilead. 3 days later, Laban found out that Jacob had gone. So Laban took his brothers with him, chased Jacob for 7 days, and caught up with him in the mountains of Gilead. That night, God appeared to Laban the Aramean in a dream and said, "Be careful and don't say anything hastily to Jacob, one way or the other." Laban reached Jacob after Jacob had pitched his tent in the mountains. So Laban and his brothers also pitched theirs in the mountains of Gilead. Laban said to Jacob, "What have you done? You have deceived me and taken off with my daughters as if they were prisoners of war. Why did you leave secretly, deceiving me and not letting me know? I would have sent you off with a celebration, with songs and tambourines and harps. You didn't even let me kiss my sons and my daughters goodbye. Now you've acted like a fool, and I have the power to punish you. However, your father's God told me yesterday, 'Be careful and don't say anything hastily to Jacob, one way or the other.' You've rushed off now because you missed your father's household so much. But why did you steal my gods?" My name is the Reverend Vicki Cater. You know, sometimes as I read and I study the scripture text, I found tiny things that I will chase after and I will study and I will look up. And sometimes those tiny, tiny details that I pick up on lead me nowhere. But then other times, there are these small nuggets of truth that I find in those seemingly insignificant verses. The story of Jacob continues here in Genesis 31. Jacob has worked hard for Laban and for Laban's daughter Rachel, whom he loved. Everything Jacob did was out of his deep love for Rachel. And Rachel was indeed a catch. She seemed to have had it all: beauty, and the hearts of her father and Jacob. So it really caught my attention here in chapter 31, verse 19, where we see Rachel steal her father's divine images. Why would she do that? Being the love of Jacob's life had afforded her everything she could have possibly ever wanted. The name for those divine images that Rachel stole were teraphim, signifying to live comfortably. They were small human figures made of wood or metal, but sometimes could even be life size. The teraphim were used for two reasons. First, for the purpose of fortune telling, but secondly, and maybe more importantly, they gave a form to God for the people to worship. They had legal significance as well, for when they were passed on to an heir, the person who received them could rightfully claim the greatest part of the family's inheritance. But let's get back to our story. There is a lot of speculation about why Rachel did what she did, but nothing that I found was really very conclusive. A few of those speculations I'll share with you. The teraphim, the divine images, were used for fortune telling. And Rachel possibly did not want her father to use the teraphim to try to locate where Jacob and his family had gone. So she took away one of the ways that he would learn that. But if that were true, it was kind of pointless, because Laban sought after and found them anyway. Another source says the reason she could have taken the images was alluded to when Rachel and Leah asked the question earlier, "Is there any share or inheritance left for us in our father's household?" Perhaps she wanted to claim the family inheritance. She and Leah had been sold to Jacob like slaves or servants, even though they were natural-born daughters of Laban's. So therefore, they were not entitled to any of Laban's inheritance. Not only that, but he used the money for his own use instead of giving any portion of it to Leah or Rachel. It very well could be in their minds that they had been wronged just as Jacob had. Still others say that she did it to get back at her father Laban for the way he had treated Jacob all that time, making Jacob work extra years, changing their agreement and payment amounts 10 times during his servitude. One last possibility was that Rachel had a lingering attachment to these objects of her family's superstitious reverence and secretly carried them away as a reminder of a home she would never get back to, and also as a source of safety for herself against the dangers of her journey. She thought the images held a certain magical, though not religious, power. And it is this possibility that intrigued me. She was starting out in a brand new life, going to new places and new people, people and situations that she knew absolutely nothing about. At this point, Rachel didn't have the trust in Jacob's God that he had. So she took with her the one thing her family had depended on all her life. It was just a small thing, small enough to fit in a saddlebag, but it was security to her and a connection to something she was familiar with. Now, we might tend to shake our heads at this, but before we do, don't we have to ask ourselves if we might possibly be doing the same thing? When we find ourselves in new places, around new people, or in difficult situations, is there something we draw on from our past? Something that brings us comfort and security from our old way of thinking and doing things? If so, we can understand Rachel's actions. Many times over, God has acted mercifully and faithfully. God had given Jacob a promise of a secure future. Yet even knowing that, Jacob stole away unawares. He practices his deceitfulness just like in the old days. God has given us that same promise of a secure future. He is consistently looking out for our good and even listening to our prayers and requests. And most times, we are trusting and secure. But there are other times when perhaps we're overwhelmed, unsure, and we long for the familiar. So the nugget here is to search our hearts and our lives to see if we, like Rachel, have hidden somewhere deep inside our saddlebags that tiny bit of our past that we return to periodically. And if that is what we find, then give it to God. Let Him have that part of yourself as well, so that our trust and our faith in the one who loves us the best and looks out for us the most is complete. Let us pray. Almighty God, as we hear this story from Genesis, we are reminded once again, Lord, of just how human the stories in the scriptures are. And Lord, if we find ourselves in the shoes of these characters, Lord, help us to search our hearts, looking for those things that we have left inside of ourselves as some sort of security, Lord. Remind us again of your promises and our future with you in eternity. Thank you, Father God, for the truths of this scripture. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.